And people are being evangelized, but that's the filling or controlling of the Spirit, not the baptizing work of the Spirit. So if you don't disconnect these a little bit to see what the difference is, you wind up with the confusion. But the baptizing work of the Holy Spirit is what puts us into the body of Christ. We are in Christ forever. You can read that in Romans chapter 6. And it is this phrase, in Christ. I'm going to put that there. Let's see, where is it? Yep. We have a new identity and a new position. We are in Christ forever. In Christ becomes a special designator in the New Testament. When you see that phrase, he's talking about believers who have been baptized into the body of Christ, and they enjoy this new position, this new identity, and we have all the benefits of the childhood, the adoption of being sons of Christ and in his family because of that work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So it's an important concept that we have that nailed down, that we're not getting these things mushed together. So we are members of each other. We are connected to the head. We are also connected to each other. Now, as we go on in 1 Corinthians, Paul says there is this relationship with each other, and we need to find community and that connectivity. Here is the diversity factor in 1 Corinthians 12:14. Read it there. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, he's whining. Is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? In other words, and in the ear, because I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body. Here's the ear having a pity party saying, oh, I'm not an eye, I can't be part of the body. That's not true, Paul says. What's the point? In the diversity factor, we have many members, and all of us have different personalities. We have different abilities, temperaments, spiritual gifts, and so on. It's very important that we understand that diversity factor. We are part of the body because God has put us there, and we function differently. That's an important concept as well. We'll come back to that. But we have to say, we have to come and look at this. Now, here's Paul's sense of humor. If the whole body were an eye, this is verse 17, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But where, God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all just one part, where would the body be? You see it? We need all the parts of the body functioning. If the whole body were an eye, where would the other parts be? Now, I'm going to give you some... I hope that the messages are practical, but you know, sometimes as I've talked to you, I give you these insights into my thinking as well, which may or may not be beneficial. You know, my body appreciates the parts, but there's some parts that probably shouldn't be close together. My toe is approximately a little bit more than 5 feet from my eye. It's probably good there's that distance. If my toe was next to my eye, there would be a great deal of pain. You know, there are people, I'll be honest with you, that's probably not a good idea for me to work with. Okay? Not because I don't appreciate them, it's just because we're very different and the combination, the chemistry, it just doesn't fit. It's not that I have an argument or a conflict with them, it's just that our manner of things are so different, it's going to be a conflict to work with that person. We can appreciate each other. I appreciate my toe appreciates my eye. You know, my eye appreciates my toe not tripping over stuff. My toe appreciates my eye saying, hey, watch this. But they better not be close. So what am I saying? Do you have to be friends with everybody here? Not necessarily. But you do need to appreciate them. Okay? There might be a difference. And if there's somebody that you're having a real struggle with as far as a working relationship, let's talk about it. Let's just manage that and say, you know, maybe it would be a good idea if we didn't work together. It's not a bad idea. Okay? We can pre-wire some of these conflicts by saying, let's face reality. The body has some distance between the toe and the ear and the eye. You know, it's for a good reason. Okay, that's me. I don't know about you. You can be honest too. Let's move on. Because as there are one body, many parts, it means we have different abilities. We function in different ways. We have different niches that interest us. I was thinking, you know how some... Well, I'll just, again, use the pastoral position. My interest, my niche, seems to be more missions than other things. There are some pastors who are tremendous administrators, tremendous visionaries, tremendous guys in the area of counseling and those types of things. But all of us have a kind of a main niche. Doesn't mean we don't do other things. And you do too. You have a niche. You have a drive in you, if you know Jesus as your Savior, to say, here is a niche that I'm really interested in. But you know what that also means? That means that I shouldn't be bugging you to say, hey, jump on my niche. And why aren't you supportive of me? I can be supportive of you without jumping into your niche necessarily. Okay? Why don't we have more people out to this and out to that? Well, maybe they're not motivated to that because their interest area, their area of service is someplace else. It's important to have that respect for one another and that interest niche. You know, we have different perspectives, don't we? And that's what makes us valuable to one another. You know, if we, all of us had the same perspective on something, then most of us aren't needed, right? You know, somebody said, you know, in a marriage, if you both agree on everything all the time, one of you is not necessary. You know, that's a tough one to swallow sometimes, but you do need your wife or your husband's comments once in a while. Okay, we'll leave it at that. We do have different perspectives. But just for the sake of visual again, suppose you had eyes all the way down your body. You know, the eye at my knee level will be very different than the view from here at the head level. You want to try it sometime, you know, get down to the level of a two-year-old and look, you know, the level at looking at everybody's knees is very different than looking at everybody's eyes. Okay? So we do have different perspectives in the church. We do have different experiences in our backgrounds that affect our thinking. All of us are coming with a different package of history, don't we? The great challenge then in that multitude of differences is to maintain the unity. And what definition of unity do we have? A lot of times we think of unity as everybody doing exactly the same thing. Well, no. What we're talking about unity here is that it's the diversity using in different instruments in harmony with one another, but unity is playing the same song. When the worship team was singing this morning, you didn't have one person singing one song, another person singing another song, and the harmony was good. I mean, they weren't singing all the same notes. You had different instruments doing different things, moving at different times, and that's fine as long as you're on the same song. There are essentials here at Grace Bible Church that we say here, this is the things that we really need to be unified over. We need to be unified over doctrine. We need to unify over general philosophy of ministry and general focus and things like that. But there's a lot of room for creativity and diversity in what we're doing. Going back to those four E's, the exalting God in worship, the evangelizing the lost, the edifying believers and the equipping for service, you know, those can be done in a variety of different ways. But we unify over those main things so that we have direction and focus in our ministry as a church. So don't think when Paul says, be of the same mind of one toward another, he's saying everybody's got to say it exactly the same way. You know, some of you clap, some of you raise your hands in worship to God, some of you say amen, some of you might cheer in another way. That's okay. I don't have a problem with that. That's the diversity. The unity is the worship. So here's the unity factor. We were talking about the diversity factor, but look at 1 Corinthians 12:20. Paul says, now there are many members, but one body. And then he talks about the necessity of the unity. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the foot, I have no need of you. Now, my head really needs the feet to carry me around. Suppose I was just head and I just had to roll. You know, that'd be real hard on my eyes and ears, wouldn't it? Okay, you think of it. That's what happens when you meditate on the scripture. Okay. Do you see what Paul is saying? We need each other. Even the people that we don't feel real close to at times, we still need them. They can be valuable assets to us. They may have information and experiences that we don't have and we genuinely need. It's important to do that and to see that. So each part needs the other parts. We need that involvement. Paul says, on the contrary, it's true that the members of the body which seem weaker are necessary. Those members of the body which we deem less honorable, and on these we bestow more abundant honor, and the unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness. Drop down to verse 27. You are Christ's body, individually members of it. Go back to verse 26. If one member suffers, all members suffer with it. One member is honored by all members rejoice with it. We don't function the same. You can't say, if I'm this or that, or I don't need you. We need one another. If we suffer, we suffer together. Any of you ever hurt yourself? Dumb question, huh? Yeah, we have, don't we? Well, I was working with utility knife, doing siding work on my house, and you know, even though the knife was sharp, it was going through that vinyl and slipped and cut my finger. It hurt. I'm right-handed. Guess which hand gets the beating? Left hand. That holds the nail. You know, there are some things that the left hand can do better than the right hand. But you know, the right hand has hurt the left hand quite a bit. It's inevitable that the body is going to hurt itself. The body has to have some understanding of that's the nature of the case. It's going to happen. What do? Does the left hand say to the right hand, you'll never hold a hammer again? I'm never going to trust you again. What would happen? What do? Spit the nail into the wood and hit? Probably not. You know? We eventually have to heal. And there's where that conflict resolution or that resolving everyday conflicts come in. How do we heal? How do we apologize? How do we ask forgiveness? How do we learn to trust one another again? And the time it takes to do it is not overnight. I mean, you know the black thumb episode. That takes a month for the thumb's nail to grow out or the finger to heal or whatever the case may be. It takes time and effort to see that it gets done. But there is that unity. We don't want to have the wrong attitude of saying, I don't need you. You know, I can't do it alone. That's a humble spirit. I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. We need one another. And how do we know if we're growing in Christ if we don't have somebody to practice humility toward, forgiveness toward, love toward, kindness toward? You know, we need each other. And as we bump around with one another, we have to have that interaction so that we grow. You know, that unity and diversity is really great theory when you think about it. We want to allow the Holy Spirit to reconform us, reconfigure us, and reconstruct us. And what I say about great theory is, yeah, we can read this, we can say it, but the question is, can I build friendships here at Grace Bible Church? Can I make a contribution here? Those are things that people ask themselves as they come to church. How friendly is Grace Bible Church? Are we friendly simply to each other? Or are we friendly to new people, people we don't know, people we haven't met before? You know, those are the tests. How do we do with that? It's important. Where is the cohesiveness? You know, if Jesus has put us into the body of Christ, there is the one body, there is the diversity, knowing Jesus as our Savior. But we need to have the cohesiveness. What's the Velcro? What's the stickiness? The interlocking puzzle pieces. Can we build relationships here? Can we build friendships? Can we make a contribution? Here are six components of developing community in Christ. One is accepting one another, that attitude of thanksgiving toward one another. And this comes out of Romans 15:7. And this is exactly what it says. Accept one another in Christ as Christ has accepted you. How has Christ accepted you? He has pulled you in to himself. That's really what that word means, to accept. That's what it means, to pull you in to yourself. And that's an important thing, that we would do that as believers, that we would get to know people. It's a lot easier to pull people into you as you know them and understand with them. There is that emotional needs. In fact, that was the, as I was doing some reading, that was the number one emotional need in children and most likely adults as well. You know, that acceptance of people with their foibles, with their idiosyncrasies, with their failures, with the things that make us people, we need to make those exceptions. We need to put away the critical spirit that doesn't care to get involved, and we need to accept people as God has accepted us. We also want to develop the ministry of hospitality, sharing with God's people who are in need. Romans 12:13, it says, practice hospitality one toward another. 1 Peter 4 says it as well. Now, when we think of hospitality, sometimes we think a meal, maybe dessert, coffee, picnic. You know, literally it means to make people feel welcome in your presence. That's all. You don't have to have, it doesn't have to be in your home. It could be any place. You could be here and be hospitable to people, making them feel welcome in your presence. What a great thing. This is super personality, meaning you have no excuse not to do it. God doesn't say, those of you who are shy or you can't talk well, you're excused. You know, all the commands don't have exceptions with them. They are there for all of us to apply in whatever way God motivates us to apply them. A third element or component to developing community, work together. Pick a project with somebody and do it. Saturday is a building project. They're going to put vinyl siding where the wood is around the windows. We need many hands, and that would be helpful. But many of you have worked with other people. What a neat picnic we had last weekend, and a lot of people worked together to put that together. You know what? It always makes me feel good. I have a grateful heart when somebody says, we really got along. We enjoyed doing this together. What a great testimony that is. Many of you have done some missions projects. You've worked here at the church. You've done other things with teams around the church. And you have a great time doing it. When Paul says to the Thessalonian people, your labor of love, your work of faith, you know, that interaction with one another is important. You get to know people, whether it's stacking wood or re-roofing something or visiting somebody who's shut in. You know, all those things, working together on a project will help build the community. Those are components of the community. Trust is another thing. If I tell you about my life, I need to trust you with that information. If you think somebody else needs to know that information, you send them to me. I'll tell them, not you. Okay? That would probably be a good idea. We really need to steer clear of gossip. If there's anything that takes a church down, it's gossip and the lack of trustworthiness. Trust really is a product of being responsible and keeping your word. When you say you're going to do something, do it. If you can't do it, tell the person. At least you're maintaining the integrity and not just violating the trust. But Proverbs 20:19, what does that say? A gossip betrays confidence. Avoid anyone who talks too much. Now, we're not talking about just a chatterbox. We're talking about somebody who talks too much in the wrong ways. Okay? A fifth component, and that is, there is going to be a testing. We have to learn to work through difficulties. We talked about a little bit. We want to do that in biblical ways. There is going to be a testing. There's going to be an issue. There's going to be a problem, a conflict, an idea that you have that maybe somebody else says, that's not a good idea. That's a bad idea. We should do it this way. You know, how do we relate to that? How do we get into that? You know, that's going to come up anytime. It's going to come up between you and somebody else. anytime there's going to be more than one person, the potential for conflict is great, isn't it? And we want to move in the direction of solving things in biblical ways so that we can grow together. It is challenging. It is going to be only a matter of time. It's the when, not the if. and we need to do that. That's why we're moving in the direction of the course on resolving everyday conflict. Also praying with people. This might be a little harder for some of you. Nobody thinks you're weird if you say, well, can we pray about that? Would you mind if I prayed with you? You know, that's important. You get involved in somebody on that level and you intercede for that person before God's throne, that's going to be a binding thing. That's going to stick you to somebody. They're going to appreciate that somebody is with you in the battle, whatever they're facing, whether it be emotional or they need wisdom or whatever it is. It's a very important thing to pray with one another. You know, there's plenty of places. You can go off to that corner. It doesn't make any difference where. Pray with people over the phone. As you hear a situation come up, Lord, can we, or so-and-so, can we pray about that right now? I prayed with somebody this week about a particular problem. Unusual phone call, and that's the only thing I could really do was to say, God, this person really needs some wisdom. It can be very meaningful. We want to pray with people. Now, there are other components we'll pick up another time, but we want to be able to work with people. When we stop and be doers of the word, we want to make practical that unity and diversity factor in our congregation. Remember, we're moving from the dysfunctionalities of sin to a relationship with Christ that involves not only our individual holiness, but also our relational holiness as we work together as a church. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for all that you've done and how complex our bodies are, our physical bodies are, and how complex the spiritual body of Christ is. Father, may we have the coordination that we need to have. May we have the wisdom that we need to have as a congregation. May we have the strength and the sensitivity and the blood of the love flowing through our veins toward one another. Father, we pray that you would mold us and make us according to your will. Lord, we know that you want us to be conformed as individuals to the character of Christ. May you do that as a corporate group too. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.